I see on the cover of your book, The Serpent Grail, a snake, of course, is, you know, intertwining itself, winding itself around the grail. And the more I read the book, the more I realized that there were civilizations gone past that truly worshipped the snake, the serpent. Why is that?
To get back to the root cause of why they all worship the snake and not the ant or the donkey is really simple, believe it or not. Mankind's religious impulse originated in his internal world, the world inside of himself. And so what he actually does is he goes through a trance state and gets into an altered state of consciousness. And as Jeremy Norby and other people have pointed out, once in this altered state of consciousness, one sees snakes, or what we perceive to be snakes, whether they're waveforms, whether it's DNA, whatever it is that we're seeing, it is a universal archetype. And so that's why the snake is tied to the religious impulse all over the world.
Yeah, when I think of the snake in those kinds of terms, I think of Satan. I think of the devil.
Yeah.
And in many contexts here that I've seen, it doesn't reflect that at all. How did that all happen? How did the snake get categorized as being evil?
There can be two ways that happened. There are definitely two ways that happened. The first one is early Christian propaganda to basically kill out the existing serpent cult. And we can see that in places like Ireland, where St. Patrick went to Ireland and basically kicked all the snakes out of Ireland. Well, there aren't any snakes in Ireland, so he was kicking out the serpent cult, the serpent worshippers. And the same thing applied on Rhodes, Cyprus, Malta with St. Paul, and many, many other islands where the Christians basically kicked the serpent worshippers or Ophites off of the islands and replaced it with Christianity. So that's one reason. So they demonized the serpent in order to demonize the old religion. They're much like they demonized paganism and various other religions. The other reason is that there are two aspects to the snake as far as the ancient religions were concerned, the ancient snake worshippers were concerned. There was the good side and the bad side, the order and the chaos. And so, you know, we've a lot of the symbolism of where the snake is bad is actually the chaotic side of the serpent as they saw it.
Of course, you do have to admit, when you see a snake slithering away, it is a very strange-looking creature, isn't it?
Yes. I actually don't mind them, so I can pick them up and have no problem with snakes at all, never have.
And the snake that was really represented in ancient times as being very symbolic, people worshipped the snake.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and there are many, many reasons for that. And the first one I could say is they saw it in their altered states of consciousness. And we can't forget the religious impulse around the world was to get into an altered state of consciousness. That was visiting the other world. That was actually lowering oneself from your consciousness into your unconscious state. And therefore, whatever you saw in there was the other world. And that can be heaven or hell. It depends on how well you're prepared.
Why do you have the snake wrapped around the grail on the cover of your book, The Serpent Grail?
Well, basically, there are a couple of reasons. The first one, obviously, because of the elixir. Now, people will have heard of the elixir of life, the substance which is supposed to make us live forever. And we found that the actual elixir and the grail were linked together because the serpent cults actually originated the elixir. And so we go through some scientific research and find that the actual venom and blood of the snake were mixed together to create an elixir. Now, that sounds completely mad because venom is supposed to hurt you.
Kill you, absolutely. So you're saying people would collect the venom of a snake and the blood, mix it together, and they drink it?
Yeah, it's the mixing of the red and the white, which we'll find in alchemy, which is on several levels. It's not just the venom and blood. But, we actually found evidence in alchemical texts and ancient medical materia and in the old Scythian text work that they actually did mix the venom and blood together inside a skull cup, which they basically was the skull of a defeated foe or somebody with tantric energy, turned upside down, gilted, and then used as a mixing bowl. And it became the Holy Grail because the Scythians were brought to England in the 4th and 5th centuries by the Romans, and they also brought with them such devices as thrusting the sword into the ground, offering the blood to the Mother God, and then, Goddess, and then pulling the sword out again. They also brought with them dragon standards, which became Arthur's dragon standard and the Welsh dragon standard. All these influences came from Scythian input, and they also bought this tantric skull cup wherein they mixed their snake and their venom and blood. So the thing was to test that scientifically. It's okay having ancient alchemical texts and medical material telling us that this venom and blood was mixed, but does it really work? And that's the amazing thing. It actually does. It's actually a wonderful immune booster. By dry weight, the venom is 90% protein, and it actually boosts the immune system incredibly. So it doesn't necessarily stop kill a disease once you've got it, although it will help. It actually stops you from getting the disease in the first place by having a boosted immune system.
I wonder how they talked to the first person who sampled this mixture.
Well, probably in chains.
Yeah. You know what? You're absolutely right. He was a test subject.
Yeah.
The people who worship the serpent, how far back into time does that go?
It goes at least to 5,000 BC. I would love to trace it even further, but we start to get into real difficulty with the text. But the very, very first gods and goddesses are linked entirely. They're called serpent priests, serpent doctors, shining ones, which is linked implicitly to the serpent people anyway. So, you know, we're talking about Sumeria and Mesopotamia where these gods and goddesses are worshipped.
Well, and as we all know, too, the medical symbol is a serpent. So, I mean, it was revered in those days.
Well, you've just put your finger on it, haven't you? The medical symbol is a serpent. So, you know, it's called the caduceus or the thyrsus. The caduceus is the double entwined serpent, which matches what the Hindus call the kundalini. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
Yes, sure. I would have thought so, a man of your caliber. The kundalini is obviously the coiled serpent, which is supposed to rest at the base of the spine and is supposed to entwine up the spine into the head, etc. And you're supposed to raise the energy into enlightenment. So, you know, even in that aspect, the serpents are there. But in Greek mythology, we've got the caduceus is coming out and being used by Aesculapius and Hygieia, which is where we get the word hygiene from. So it's always linked to healing and to enlightenment. And yet, like you said earlier, you know, it's been demonized